Good morning. When was the last time that you've thought about how your influence affects others? Was it last year? Was it yesterday? Let's be honest with ourselves. Most likely the last time that you've ever thought about how your influence affects other people, I don't think it was anytime soon. I want to talk to you today about how our influence affects others. We're going to look at three main points: how we influence others, some examples of influence that we find in the Bible, and about the greatest influence of all, Jesus Christ. We're going to be mostly looking in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. So if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew 5, 13 through 16. That's where we get this topic from. It's Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. First thing we need to look at is how we influence others. We influence people many times by what we say, and many times that can have a negative influence. If I were to curse someone, do you think anything positive is going to come from that? In James 3:9, it says, "We curse men with the same tongue we bless God." If I were God, I don't think I'd be very happy with that. Also, in James 3:5, it compares our tongue to a forest fire. Forest fires spread, consuming everything in their path. That's our tongue. That's our tongue having an influence on everyone in its path. We need to be careful. Our words can also lead to death, as it says in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. On the flip side, though, words can have a positive influence. They can give you life or spread life, as it also says in Proverbs 18:21. We can have an influence on others by praying. Also, by blessing God, as it talks about in James 3:9. We also can teach the gospel to have an impact on others. We need to always remember to set a good influence, as it talks about in Matthew 34 through 37. But not only do we influence people by what we say, but also by how we act. Our actions toward others many times also have a negative influence, such as going to places we shouldn't necessarily be, going to that nightclub, going to that bar. Do you think when our brother sees us doing that, that gives him a good influence? I think it gives him a bad influence. We can also be disrespectful to parents, teachers, or people in general of higher authority. When we do that, people who see us think it's okay to be disrespectful, but it's not. Though we can have a negative influence, we also can give off a positive influence by going to church. If your neighbor knows that you go to church, do you think maybe they can trust you a little more? They know you go to church and you won't lie, and you won't do this and you won't do that. If you wouldn't lie, I think I'd be able to trust you a little more. Also, we can invite people to church, because when your brother sees you inviting people to church, it makes him maybe want to do it too. It gives him a little more confidence to do so. And as it says in Matthew 5:16, we need to let our light shine wherever we go. And also, we need to remember Philippians 1:27, where it says to let your conduct be worthy of only the gospel of Christ. Only the gospel of Christ. That's not by my standards or by any of your standards. That's by the gospel of Christ's standards. We need to always remember that. And now that we've learned about how we can influence others, let's take a look at a few examples. There's so many examples of good and negative influence in the Bible, but we're only going to take a look at three of each. We're going to start with some positive influences. In 2 Chronicles 20:32, if you'll go ahead and turn there, that's 2 Chronicles 20:32, we have an example of a good parental influence. So let's go ahead and read. That's 2 Chronicles 20:32. And he walked in the way of his father Asa, and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. So because he followed his father's footsteps, he too got to heaven, because he did what was right. We also have the congregational influence, as I like to call it, in 1 Thessalonians 1:8. In 1 Thessalonians 1:8, it talks about the impact that a single church had on a nation. The fact that because this church was doing good, it influenced others to be doing good and doing right. We also have, as I like to call it, the after-death influence that we find in Hebrews 11:4. So if you'll go ahead and turn to there, we're going to be looking at that. That's Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead, still speaks. So even though that Abel is dead and he's passed on, his influence, what he did right, and how he was righteous, still lives on through other people, and they followed God's will. Unfortunately, though, when you read the Bible, you don't just find good influences. There are some negative impacts that people get. So we're going to look at three of these. In 1 Kings 22:52, if you'll go ahead and turn there, we also have another negative impact. I mean, we have a negative impact, but this has to do with the parentals, how your parents can negatively impact you. We have in 1 Kings 22:52. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. From this verse and 2 Chronicles 20:32, we get the sense that parents give an immense influence. They can help you do what's right or do what's wrong. So for those of you that are parents, try to set a good influence or example for your children. We also have in 1 Corinthians 5:6, it talks about that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If one false teacher comes in here and teaches false doctrine, is that going to impact you in a good way or a bad way? You might think of what he says is true. What is it? And last, we have the influence that I like to call the Christian-to-Christian influence, or the personal influence. This is found in 1 Corinthians 8:10, so if you'll go ahead and turn there, I'd like to read it for you. That's 1 Corinthians 8:10 where it's found. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 8:10 says, For if anyone sees you have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? If someone sees us go to a bar, but you may only be drinking apple juice, what does that look like to them? Do you think they think it's apple juice? Do you think they might want to go drink beer with you? That's not the way we should be. Don't even go to the bar at all. Go somewhere else to get your apple juice. Because if you do that, not only then do you have to deal with your sin, but you have to deal with his sin, because you caused him to stumble. And now that we know how we influence others, and we've looked at a few examples in the Bible, I'd like to take a look at how we can have an influence like Christ. Many times I've seen the "What Would Jesus Do?" bracelets. But even though those people wore those "What Would Jesus Do?" bracelets, they didn't necessarily change how they acted. Sometimes, though, they might look at their bracelet before they do something and say, "What is this telling me? Would Jesus do this? Should I do this? Because if Jesus wouldn't do it, why would you?" Jesus' influence was one of utmost righteousness that we find in the Bible. And we need to act like him, as it talks about in Galatians 2:20. This verse is talking about the complete takeover of our lives. It's not our life anymore once you're taken over. It's Christ's life, and he's living through you. You need to set a good example. It also talks about that in Colossians 3:3, where it says, "You died in Christ, and it is no longer you. You are hidden by Christ." We also have in Colossians 3:12-13, where it talks about we should put on the new man. Putting on the new man. And it gives us some examples of how we should act like him. By being kind, humble, by being meek, long-suffering, bearing to one another, and forgiving one another. Sometimes I feel that the last two are the hardest to do, especially when your brother or your sister in Christ does something that you didn't necessarily like. It may have been really small, but you still hold that grudge. And then you need to look back on yourself and be like, "What was I thinking? It's not that big of a deal." We need to have an influence of Christ and be forgiving. Another reason why Christ had such a major impact was because he had such a strong influence in the fact that he didn't exclude anyone from what he taught. He didn't exclude anyone from when he was teaching on the Mount, as we find where we are reading from in Matthew 5:13-16. On the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't exclude anyone because of their race or because of their hairstyle or something of that sort. He didn't exclude anyone. In James 2, it teaches us that we shouldn't exclude others and let the influence of Christ be only felt by some. We need to influence everyone, folks. We've seen how we influence others. We've seen some examples of how we influence others, and some good examples and some evil examples in the Bible. And we've seen some examples of how we need to act like Christ and have the influence of Christ. And now that we've seen that, we no longer have an excuse for not setting a good example. We need to have that good influence. We need to impact others in a positive way. So I'd like to end with this question. What kind of influence are you going to be today? Thank you.